请坐，打开圣经雅各书第一章。
Let us turn to James chapter 1.
雅各书第一章。
James 1.
我们一同来读第五节、第六节的圣经。
We will read verses 5 and 6.
雅各书第一章，我们大家一同开声来读。一、二、三，你们中间若有人缺少智慧的，应该是的。主就必赐给他，只要凭着信心求，一点不疑惑，因为那疑惑的人就像海中的波浪，被风吹动翻腾。这样的人不要想从主那里得着什么，因为心怀恶意的人在那一切所行的路上都没有定见。我们读经到这个地方，我不知道我们今天能讲到什么地方。
We don't know when we will stop.
我继续上个礼拜很重要的题目。
But we will continue on the important theme from last week.
做一个智慧的人。
That we are to be a wise person.
上个礼拜有来的请举手。
Those who were here last week, raise your
hand. 我今天给你们做一个考试好不好？
A test for you.
上个礼拜我们讲什么？
What did we talk about?
我们很多人到教会里来很轻松，因为没有考试。
Many people feel relaxed in church because there's no test.
报名也不必付钱。
You don't have to pay when you register for something.
有时间就来听，没有时间就不听。
If you have time, you come. If not, you just stay home.
有精神就继续听，没有精神就守安息日。
If you are tired, then you have your Sabbath.
我们没有考试。
There is no exam.
所以我们没有任何的负担。
So no burden.
所以很多时候听得到，就一面听一面忘，一面记一面丢。结果呢，听了很多，记了很多，忘了很多，剩下一点点。
So in the end, we are only retain very little bit of what we have heard or learned.
当然，智慧可以从几十个方面来谈。
Well, of course, wisdom can be looked at from many different angles.
上个礼拜我们从五点来思想。
Last week we talked about in five different angles.
谁是一个智慧人呢？
Who is this wise person?
记得吗？
Can you still remember?
第一是谁呀？
The first one.
谁？一个敬畏上帝。
The person that fears God.
一个人心中有主。
When a person has the Lord in his heart,
一个人对主有敬畏,
when he fears God,
这个人一定不会随便犯罪,
this person would not sin easily,
特别对他对主的认识是正确的,
especially if he has the correct understanding of our Lord.
他是无所不在的上帝, 就继续不断成为他自动愿意受监督的原因。
And God who is omniscient will become a source of guidance for this person.
你没有办法在什么地方随你的意思犯罪。
Then you would not sin in any place you go.
你心中对上帝的敬畏，使你知道他在每一个地方都正在看见你。
Because you know in your heart by your fear of God that He is everywhere.
无所不知的神，使你对他完全顺服。
And because God is omniscient, so you are submissive to Him.
所以敬畏上帝是智慧的开端。
The fear of the Lord, therefore, is the beginning of wisdom.
第二个原则，我们提到一个真正敬畏上帝的人是怎样的人呢？
The second principle we mentioned.
一个真正敬畏上帝的人是用真理的原则来律己、来束腰的人。
That a person who truly fears the Lord is a person who will discipline himself with God's righteousness and justice.
所以我们领受的上帝的道。
When we receive His word,
就成了我们行事的准则。
It becomes the standard of our living.
我说明白了上帝的旨意。
When I say I understand the will of God,
就成了我们自由的有书。
It becomes the constraint to our freedom.
我们对神本性的认知。
Our understanding of God's attributes,
就成了我们顺从的甘心。
Will become a willing heart that will obey Him. 一个
人以上帝的道约束自己。
When a person constrains his life with the word of God,
以神的真理限制自己,
and limit himself with the truth of God,
以圣灵的引导来顺服他,
and obey God by the guidance of the Holy Spirit,
这个人就是个智慧的人,
this would have been a wise person.
我们的神虽然是绝对的绝对,
although our God is the absolute of absolutes,
我们的神虽然是自由的自由,
although He is freedom of all freedoms,
但我们的神绝对不用他的自由犯罪。
But God would not be free to sin.
所以他是自立的人最好的榜样。
He is the best example for those of us who are self-disciplined.
有一次我读 John Stott 的书。
Once I was reading word by John Stott.
里面提了一句话。
There was a statement there.
连上帝的自由也不是绝对的。
John Stott said even the freedom of God is not absolute.
我皱着眉头有一点怀疑这句话。
I was frowning and I thought there's something wrong.
因为上帝的观念中间绝对不可以把 不绝对放在上帝的身上。
Because in my concept, we cannot have this idea of God not being absolute.
只有上帝的绝对是绝对的绝对的绝对。
Because only the absoluteness of God is the absolute of the absolute.
The absolute absolute is only God. 所以呢，所有的绝对不是非绝对，而绝对化自己的被造的非绝对。
All sorts of absolutes are just absolute that we made ourselves to be absolute.
Non-absolute but absolutize themselves. 只有上帝的绝对是绝对的绝对的本体。
Only God is the absolute of the absolute in itself.
但我知道他要讲的是什么。
But of course I realize what he was trying to say.
上帝没有自由随便犯罪。
God does not have the freedom to sin.
所以说连上帝的自由也不是绝对的。
And so his freedom is not absolute.
那我想这是有关实际的问题，不是观念的问题。
This is semantics and not about concept.
所以我是想怎么了解，怎么样用最恰当的词句来描写上帝自由的限制。
And I thought maybe there's a better way to understand the limitation of God's freedom.
所以结果我也就用了一段的话来表达这个观念。
And I would express this in an illustration.
我相信上帝自由是绝对的。
I believe God's freedom is absolute.
但上帝很乐意把自己的自由放在他本性的约束之下。
But willingly he constrained his freedom under his own attributes.
所以他甘心把自由限制在他的道德本性之中。
Willingly he subject his freedom under his ethics.
像神是圣洁的。
So God is holy.
他的自由就在圣洁的范围里面。
His freedom therefore is constrained by holiness.
神是慈爱的。
Because he is love.
所以他的自由就在慈爱的范围里面。
And so his freedom is constrained within his mercy.
神是真理。
God is truth.
所以他享福他自己的自由在真理的约束之中。
He subject his freedom within the constraint of the truth.
神是良善的。
Because God is good.
所以神说的一切的一切都在良善的包围里面。
Everything that he does would be good.
当一个人真正敬畏上帝。
When we truly fear God.
一个人顺从上帝。
When we truly are obedient to Him,
效法我们的主的时候,
and when we follow the example of Christ,
我们就应当自立到一个地步,
we should be so self-disciplined,
甘心情愿把我们的自由放在神本性的限制的范围里面,
that we willingly subject our freedom under the constraint of God's attributes.
这样的一个人是一个智慧的人,
this would then be a wise person.
所以是,这个是我们所提到的智慧的第二个定义。
This is the second definition of freedom we mentioned.
智慧的第三个定义是什么呢？
The third definition.
就是我们要成为我们产业的主人。
That we should be the master of all we have.
不应当让我们的产业的主使来支配，来管理我们每个人。
Our resources should not be the thing that will control us.
每一次当我们谈到产业的时候，
When we talk about resources,
我们这个很堕落的思想嘛，就想到钱财、银行、我们的房子。我们的东西，把这个作为我们产业的一个范围。
Our fallen mind will immediately assume that we are talking about property, about money.
我曾经在希伯来书的时候跟你们谈到关于产业的问题。
In the expository preaching of Hebrews, I mentioned this before.
我们人的真正的产业。
The true resources we have. 应
该分成看得见跟看不见的。
Should be segregated towards those that can be seen and those who cannot be seen.
分成永存跟不永存的。
Those that are eternal and those that are temporal.
分成物质的跟非物质的。
Those that are material and immaterial.
如果我们把产业的观念附在物质化的思想里面的时候，
If we think of resources as only physical things,
我们已经永远没有办法做一个真正产业的主人。
It would be impossible for us to be true master of what we have.
我对产业的观念是如此。
And this is my concept for property.
我们第一个产业就是我们被造而有神形象的生命。
The first property we have is this life that is made in the image of God.
所以这个人有神形象的存在是我们最基本的一个产业。
This is the most fundamental possession we have.
这个产业是超过所有其他被造之物。
This possession is greater than all other creatures.
因为所有的货物都不是按照上帝的形象样式造的。
For all living creatures other than man are not made in the image of God.
所以我们一定要认知自己的尊贵。
We need to understand that we are noble.
我们爱惜自己的特权。
And treasure this privilege.
让它好好把这个我们原有的超过其他受造万物的这尊贵的产业好好使用它。
And use this very precious possession that God has given to us more than all other creatures.
一个真正敬重自己这样产业的人。
When a person truly understands and treasures this possession,
一定不甘堕落。
He will strive well.
一个真正宝贵神所给我们存在的人。
A person that truly treasures the existence that God has given to us.
一定在存在中间产生了超存有的永恒的价值。
Would produce values that surpasses his very existence.
我们第二样的产业是什么呢？
The second possession.
就是我们所有的有关在今世存在的空间、时间的这个产量。
Things that are exist in the time space of our very existence.
The measurement of the space and time given to us. 所以我们在这个世界上有多长的时间，时间就成为我们的产业。
However much time we are given in this life, it becomes our possession.
我们在地上的年龄有多少活动的空间，这空间就变成我们的产业。
And the space for all our activities in life becomes our possession.
一个敬重自己的存在感。
A person that honors his own existence.
第二样就要思想怎样使用他的时间，跟怎样活动在他的空间范围的里面。
Would think carefully how he would use his time and the space he has.
时空是很抽象的事情。
Time space is very abstract.
但时空是很具体的事情。
But it is also very real.
从物质的衡量，我们很难量出时空的价值。
Materialistically speaking, it's hard to measure.
但是从我们生命的发挥，时空的价值是一个肯定的存在。
But in our life, time space is important as we express ourselves.
所以这是我们第二个大产业。
So this is the second great possession.
第三个大产业就是神赐给我们的恩典。我们的才干，我们的天资智慧等等。
The third possessions will be the gifts and talents that God has given to us naturally.
一个人有的才干，有的天资，绝对不是用金钱可以换回来。
All these talents and gifts cannot be bought.
所以当你使用你的天资的时候，
When you are using God's given talent,
发挥你的潜能的时候，
If you express your potential,
你就有了比其他的产业更大的产业。
You are doing something that is greater than mere possessions.
你的其他看得见的产业常常是从这个看不见的产业所产生出来的副产品而已的。
Very often, visible products are byproducts of invisible talents.
所以一个人要尊重自己有什么才干。
We need to honor the kind of talent we are given.
堕落以后的人性。
But the fallen humanity
常常夸他不劳而获天资聪明的智慧。
Would boast about all this wisdom that they get by natural birth.
而堕落以后的人
And a fallen human being,
常常不注意到我们领受的这些天资跟以后我们要受的审判是同等的一种很大的责任。
Would not realize that we have great, given great responsibility when we are given great talent.
所以他们一方面没有好好使用他们的才干，一方面只有夺取上帝的荣耀。
On the one hand, we do not use the talent that God has given to us. On the other hand, we take glory away from Him.
很多不爱读书的人是最聪明的人。
There are many people who do not like to study, but they are very intelligent.
因为他们说，我虽然不读书，我也不输给别人。
They know that without studying much, they will still make it.
所以他们的夸口是建在他们不劳而获的天资智慧上。
So they are boasting on the talent that they got for free.
他们一方面浪费上帝给他们的这个产业。
On the one hand, they are wasting away God-given talent.
一方面夺取上帝的荣耀。
On the other hand, they take away glory from God.
夸自己所有，原是从神赐给他，要向他追账，让他受审判的那些的资产。
They are boasting about possessions that God has given to them that God will hold them accountable for.
接下去我不谈了。
I will not continue.
就是有关于你有多少钱，你的多少事业，多少房产，这是次要的产业。
All the other things about physical possession are secondary.
看得见的，无论看不见的。
Whether they are visible or invisible.
无论是偶存的或者永存的。
Whether they are contingent or incontingent.
无论是暂时的或者永恒的。
Whether temporal or eternal.
一个智慧的人是一个懂得控制，懂得做自己产业主人的人。
A wise person is a master of all his possessions.
如果你是一个智慧人，
If you are wise,
那你懂得怎样用你的时间，怎样扩展你的空间。
You will know how to use your time and expand your space.
如果你是个智慧的人，
If you are wise,
你懂得怎样使用你的存在，发挥你的才干。
You will know how to use your existence to manifest your talent.
如果你是智慧的人，
If you are wise,
你懂得怎样支配你所有的金钱，你所有的物产。
You will know how to use your money and your possessions.
否则你就做了你产业的奴仆了。
Or you would have been enslaved by all these things.
这是第三种智慧。
This is the third type of wisdom.
第四种的智慧是什么呢？
The fourth wisdom.
就是你能够怎样在你的生命的过程中间，
and that is in your possession, progression of your life,
用你的暂时去换永恒。
You will know how to use your temporal existence in exchange for eternity.
暂时是要过去的。
The temporal will pass away.
所以永恒是长存的。
But eternity lasts forever.
圣经说这世界和其上的情欲都要过去。
The Bible says the world and its desires will pass away.
唯独遵行上帝旨意的人是永远长存。
But those who do the will of God will last forever.
所以这种人是一个有智慧的人。
Such people are wise.
什么时候我们把永恒去换取暂时的时候，我们就是愚蠢的人。
We will become foolish if we exchange eternity for the temporal.
相反的，我们在暂时中间的得到永恒的，我们就是智慧的人。
Conversely, we are wise when we exchange the temporal for eternity.
再过两年，我侍奉主50年了。
Two years later, I would have served the Lord for 50 years.
我现在已经有不同的思想。
My thoughts are already changing.
特别在两件事情上。
Especially on two matters.
就是如果上帝给我最后一段的时间，有5年，有10年这样讲道的话。
That is, if the Lord give me 5 years, 10 years to continue preaching.
怎样使用这一段的时间达到最大的果效，产生最永恒的价值。
I need to find out how I can use this limited time to have the greatest impact.
所以呢，我愿意把我的智慧，把我里面吸收的恩典，同神真理的结晶，尽量发挥。来供应下一代青年人的需要。
I am willing to manifest all that God has given to me to supply the needs of the next generation.
我盼望我没有离开世界以前。
I hope that before I leave this world,
兴起一批比我更聪明、更有才干、更有智慧的人。
I will be able to raise the next batch of people who are more intelligent than me, more wise than me.
让上帝的道可以在世界上发扬光大。
That the word of God may be preached greatly in this world.
更多的青年人可以在暂时中间领取永恒的智慧。
That more young people will receive the eternal wisdom in the temporal world.
这是我个人怎样使用我生命的问题。
This is a question of how I would use my life.
第二个我常常思考的问题。
The second thing I keep thinking about.
就是上帝怎样在这个时代兴起后继的人。
That how God would raise the successor.
所以呢是以后的工作。
To continue the work for the future.
使得荣耀在地上大过以前的荣耀。
So that the glory of God will be manifested greater than in the past.
所以今天我挑战你们每个人。
This evening, I will challenge all of you.
做一个智慧的人。
That you would be wise.
懂得在你暂时的生命中间求达到，争取永恒的果效。
That in your temporal existence, you will do work that has eternal consequences.
这些都是永恒的价值中间的智慧的问题。
These are wisdom relating to eternity.
那我们解释智慧的时候
，When we explain about wisdom,
我们不要把智慧跟聪明把它混为一谈。
Let us not mix wisdom with intelligence.
我们更不应当把智慧跟知识混为一谈。
Surely not with knowledge.
因为智慧是比知识更有根基性的地位。
Wisdom has a more fundamental position than knowledge.
智慧是比知识更有方向性的作用。
Wisdom sets a direction.
智慧是比知识更有本质性的价值的。
Wisdom has a more fundamental value in its status.
你把本质、把方向、把根基先认定以后
，When you realize the value, the direction, and the foundation,
那么知识就会增加了。
Then your knowledge will increase subsequently.
世界上的知识就会慢慢进到你智慧里面来了。
All the knowledge of the world will come into your wisdom.
因为知识不过是智慧的内容。
Because knowledge is the content of wisdom.
所以智慧是知识的方向。
Wisdom is the direction of knowledge.
我们中间若有人缺少智慧，
If there's any among you that lacks wisdom,
他就应当向上帝求。
He should ask God.
那么上帝是厚赐于人，也不测责的人的，他就必然要赐给他。
Who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him.
所以这是一个很特别的例子。
This is a very special example.
就是你求什么，一定给你的。
That when you ask, it will be given to you.
那这个什么不是什么的什么，这个什么就是智慧，这个是什么
？And this is the matter of asking for wisdom.
你求财富不一定给你。
When you ask for wealth, the Lord may not grant it to you.
你求健康不一定给你。
If you ask for health, He may not give it to you.
你求高位不一定给你。
You ask for promotions, He may not give it to you.
你求出名不一定给你。
You ask for fame, He may not be granted.
这些圣经直接把应许讲清楚了。
But this verse gives us a direct promise.
你们中间若有人缺乏智慧，
If any of you lacks wisdom,
你们就要向上帝求。
He should ask God.
他是厚赐于人，
Who gives generously to all,
有不测责人的上帝，
Without finding fault,
他必定赐给你。
And it will be given to him. May the Lord help us all. By this promise, by the faith he has given to us, we should call upon him boldly for wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks
be to God. Every Christian can be wise because we have all accepted Jesus Christ.
1
Corinthians, the last
verse.
God made Christ our wisdom. God made Christ our righteousness. God made Christ our salvation. And so we can have wisdom in Christ. After this verse is finished, the second important theme from this verse, that is the question of asking. To ask and to pray is a religious motive. And it's also what marks a faith. And asking from God is a common religious phenomenon. Everybody who is religious would have this prayer. There is no religion that has no relationship towards eternal hope. There is no religion that doesn't ask of the eternal one. There is no religion that doesn't contain prayers. The prayer in life is a religious phenomenon. The desire to pray is a motive in faith. The style of prayer is different from faith to faith. Strictly speaking, then all religions would have prayer. Here he says we should seek God for wisdom, and it already surpasses the common religion. After the stain of the fallen world, our religiosity in our life is always expressed in two areas, selfishness and materialism. The religious life of most people is centered upon their own selfishness. Many religious prayers is meant to get a material satisfaction. So if you ask a person, do you pray? He said, yes, I do. You ask how you pray. He said, I pray for my needs. What are your needs?
我需要平安,我需要发财,我需要顺利,我需要万代蒙恩。
I need peace, I need prosperity, I need blessing for all my generations.
这样说起来,
so from this anger,
宗教现象中间的祷告生活,
the prayer life in religion
就陷落在两个很大的错误里面,
is fallen into two different areas.
第一,
the first error is that it is self-centered.
第二是以物质为对象。
Secondly, is material-centered. We pray so that we can have material goals. And we want this material for ourselves. And so any religion that is especially strong in these two areas are actually very low class. And any religion that can escape the constraint of these two areas will become higher. Among many religions, although there are teachings of prayer, but among many religions, they all have different theology and principles of prayers. This evening, we want to look especially on this. Why do we pray? How do we pray? To whom do we pray? By what do we pray? And for what purpose? And all these in summary are the theology of prayer.
这个重要不重要呢?
Is this important?
这是非常重要的事情。
This is extremely important.
因为如果你祷告错了,
if you pray in the wrong way,
那就很危险。
It will be dangerous.
你向错误的对象祷告。
If you pray to the wrong person,
你就枉费你的心
机。You are wasting your time.
如果你祷告的目的是邪恶的。
If the purpose is evil,
你就离开了宗教真正的用意。
You will leave what religion truly talks about.
祷告是这么重要，这么重要的事情。
Prayer is extremely important.
但是很奇怪的，没有一个神学院有祷告学。
But strangely, not a single seminary has theology of prayer.
你听过神学叫做 prayerology。
Prayerology。
有没有祷告学这门学问呢
？There is no such thing.
几个学问呢、啊？
Okay.
从来没有的。
Nobody has this course.
我们有论信心。
We talk about faith.
我们有论神的教义。
We talk about doctrines.
我们论末世。
We talk about the end times.
我们几乎没有一个神学院是论祷告。
But no seminary has this faith, prayer.
不但如此。
Not only that.
这方面的书也很少很少。
Very few people write books on that.
多数就是提到祷告的见证。
Most have witnesses about prayer.
多数的见证偏重于祷告怎么样蒙上帝垂听的果效。
And most are about how God would answer prayers.
是我们怎样祷告。
How do we pray?
我们为什么祷告。
Why do we pray?
我们向谁祷告。
To whom do we pray?
我们应当求些什么。
What should we ask for?
我们祷告的这个根据是什么。
By what do we pray?
这些东西是今天晚上我们要提的。
These are the things we want to talk about this evening.
老实说，有一个讲道把祷告神学讲清楚，这是不可能的事情。
But it is not possible to cover all of this.
既然我们已经牵涉了求的问题。
But since we are already talking about asking,
我盼望今天可以把重点讲出来。如果必要的时候，下个礼拜继续讲下。
I want to bring out the important points. Maybe continue next week.
那如果大家对祷告的神学有很正确的合乎圣经的观念和认识的话，
If we have the biblical understanding of prayer,
那你以后一生一世，你的基督教的生活就不一样了。
Your Christian life would be different.
刚才我提到，当我们的祷告是以自我为中心，是以物质为目的的时候，越靠近这两个的原则，宗教就是越低级的宗教。
I mentioned earlier that any faith that places great emphasis on the self in prayer and also getting material goods are actually low class.
我们的祷告是越离开以自己为中心，越离开以物质为目的的，我们的宗教生活就是越高级的生活。
And so the more we depart away from this self-centeredness and material-centeredness, we are progressing higher.
所以当你看耶稣基督的祷告的时候，
When you look at the prayer of Jesus Christ,
完全不以自己为中心。
It is certainly not self-centered.
当你看耶稣基督的祷告的时候，
When you look at the prayer of Christ,
完全不求物质方面的供应。
He doesn't ask for providence in material things.
当门徒问耶稣说，主啊，请你教导我们要怎么样祷告的时候。
When the disciples ask, "O Lord, teach us to pray."
耶稣的主导文里面
，In the Lord's Prayer，
那么多的词句中间，只有一句乱到我们日用的音色，求你今天赐给我们。
There is only one sentence that says, "Give us this day our daily bread."
哦，他是讲的是日用的音色，不是指一生一世发大财很多东西吃。
But he talk about daily provision, not lifelong provision.
基督教导门徒的祷告。
The prayer that Christ has taught us
绝对不是以物质的丰盛为终极性的目标。
Was not based on material possession or prosperity.
绝对不是以自我中心为他祷告的动机。
And certainly not based on a self-interest.
你再把这种祷告跟其他的宗教的信徒的祷告相比的时候，
When you compare this sort of prayer and the prayers that we see most of the time,
你就明白到在神的启示中间那超然。本质的优越在哪里的？
You will understand how superior God's revelation is.
差不多三四十年前，
About 30-40 years ago,
我们听音乐的时候都是用 analog 的这个唱片。
When we listen to music, we have a turntable, an analog type.
从78转变成38转的时候，
When it moves from 78 RPM to 38,
这个叫做 long playing records.
It's called the LP, long playing records.
33半一分钟转的。
It turns 33 and a half times a minute.
大概呢，在半个钟头里面，一片这个12英寸的都唱完了。
Within half an hour, the music will have been finished.
这样刚刚好可以做一个巴哈 John Johann Sebastian Bach 的 cantata 一片。
So one would cover one J.S. Bach's cantata.
大概可以做一个莫扎特的这个 symphony.
And a Mozart symphony.
大概可以做几个的 sonata.
Or maybe a few sonatas.
或者比较多一点的叫 Handel Concerto Grosso.
Or Handel's concertos.
但如果你要听整套的弥赛亚，
But you want to listen to the whole Messiah.
最少需要三片。
You need at least three LPs.
整套的这个 Matthew Passion.
Or Matthew Passion.
你最少要三片。
You need three pieces.
而且是特别密、特别密的那个纹的才能够录完。
Only those that are very dense.
你要听着 opera 的话。
If you want to listen to opera,
那你至少要三片。
Also must have three plays.
如果你要听着 Wagner 的 Ring of Nibelung,
if you want to listen to Wagner,
那你要15片才能听完。
You need 15 albums.
这样的那个唱片的所能收的账方面，两边加起来最多是70分钟。
Both sides of the album will have 70 minutes of music.
现在一片小小的 DVD。
But now a small DVD,
你可以180分钟、200分钟都放进去。
Can have 200 minutes of play.
那个时候呢，用的唱针要小得不得了，越细越贵。这个是世界上最奇怪的。平常钻石越大越有钱，但是只有那唱片的钻石针越细的越贵。
But this needle that is used, you've got to have very thin, and the smaller they are, the more expensive they are.
This is the smallest diamond with the highest price. 那这个呢不叫做 needle， 这个叫做 stylus， 他没用过，所以他不知道。
Different generation。
当时最出名的这个唱针呢
，the most famous stylus，
包括日本的 Koitsu，
Japanese Koitsu，
还有 Autophone，
Autophone，
还有就 Pickering，
and Pickering，
还有 AKG，
AKG，
还有 Shure，
Shure，
还有许多我念的你也不懂，所以不必念了。那么 Pickering 公司呢出的唱针有一个标头。
The stylus of this Pickering company has a slogan.
很吸引人的。
A good slogan.
它叫做什么呢？ For those who knows the difference.
所以能够听得出分别的人。
所以你一用它的唱针呢，它啪到你一听，哎，这个不一样，这个很特别，这个是不同的本质。
That you will know that this stylus is very different from all other styluses.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹，
Dear brothers and sisters.
我们今天要分别什么本质，好不好？
We must have the ability to tell the good from the bad.
我们需要有很敏感的反应。
To do that, we must have a sensitive reaction.
有一个很广泛的比较。
A very wide comparison.
有一个很尖锐的觉察力。
A very sharp observation.
所以这种觉察力。
This observation.
这种分辨。
This distinguished ability.
这种发现。
And this discovery.
使我们看出不同的地方决定品质。
Will tell us that the differences will determine the quality.
在祷告的事情上
，in this matter of prayer，
你要清楚分辨出来。
You must segregate carefully.
这祷告是离开物质的目的多远
？Whether this prayer is far from material gain.
这个祷告是为了离开自私的心多远
？Is it far from selfishness?
这个祷告就是高级的祷告。
If that is the case, it's a higher form of prayer.
所以我们都是一个基督徒。
We are all Christians.
我们都是懂得祷告的人。
We all know how to pray.
我们到底祷告真正懂到什么地步
？But do we really know about prayer?
我们对祷告的本质了解到怎么样敏感的程度
？How sensitive are we to the true essence of our prayer?
你去从耶稣所教导我们的祷告去认知祷告生活的本质是什么
？You need to understand the true essence of prayer through the prayer of Jesus Christ.
耶稣基督的祷告
，the prayer of Christ，
跟亚比士的祷告
，is different from the prayers of Jabez.
天渊之别。分别
between like sky and the earth.
亚比士的祷告是以我以我的扩张以我的这个事为中心。
The prayer of Jabez is based on your own possession and your own expansion.
耶稣的祷告是以上帝的旨意、上帝的国、上帝的名、上帝的国度、上帝的权柄、上帝的荣耀为中心。
But the prayer of Jesus Christ is all centered around God, His glory and His eternal will.
从这个分辨的敏感度，你去分别所有的宗教。
When you use this sensitivity to segregate, you can look at all faith.
你才明白基督教的求应当是怎么样。
You will realize how Christians ought to pray.
圣经没有说你求物质，上帝一定给你。
The Bible doesn't promise that we will surely get what we ask for materialistically.
你求智慧，他必定给你。
But here the promise is that wisdom will surely be given.
这个跟全本圣经的总原则是一样。
This is consistent with the general principle of the Bible.
所以耶稣在约翰第十五章也讲过你。奉我的名，无论求什么，我都会给你。
In John 15, Jesus said that whatever you may ask for in my name, it will be granted to you.
很多人在引用那些圣经的时候，就偏重在求什么，无论求什么，求什么，上帝被赐给我们。
And so many people place emphasis that God will surely give us anything we ask for.
那些圣经的教导重点是奉我的名求什么，主就不给你。
But the emphasis is to pray in His name.
啊，这个奉我的名，就是在主导文第一句，愿人都尊你的名为圣的前提之下，这是耶稣基督贯彻始终 互相呼应的一个教导。
But the teaching is consistent with the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be Thy name."
所以一个人不尊主的名为圣，就没有资格奉主的名来祷告。
And so in our life, God's name is not hallowed, then we should not pray in His name.
一个人尊主的名，照着主的名，明白他的旨意祷告所求的什么，上帝才会给他。
And God will grant what we ask for when we consider His name to be hallowed and we are obedient to His will.
你把这个原则搞清楚了以后，
when you're clear about this principle,
回到这节圣经所提到求的问题，
and then we return to what this verse is saying.
你们向上帝求，
ask from God.
你们祷告，
pray.
你们求，
you seek Him.
那我们的祷告，你看很多的宗教都有不同的教导。
Many religion teaches prayer differently.
所以有的宗教祷告是积极的不得了。完全静默，沉思默想。
Some faith has meditative quietness in prayer.
有的宗教的祷告是大喊大叫，大锣大鼓的。
Whereas some faith will pray very noisily.
有一些的宗教祷告的时候，用舌头砍自己，用刀刺自己。
In some faith, you pray by hitting yourself and cutting yourself with knives.
所以我们就问祷告到底应当怎么样呢？
So we want to ask how to pray.
单单在基督教的里面。
Within Christianity itself,
你看基督教的祷告是不一样的。
The prayer of the Roman Catholics are different.
基督教的祷告是不一样的。
The prayers of Protestants are different.
福音派的祷告是不一样的。
The prayers of the Evangelicals are different.
大众派的祷告是不一样的。
The Orthodox denominations.
灵恩派的祷告又不一样的。
And also different from the Charismatics.
那些很富于感情的祷告更不一样的。
And emotional prayers.
所以我们要问怎样祷告。
So how do we pray?
什么叫做祷告？
What is prayer?
为什么祷告有这么多不同的地方？
Why are there so many different expressions?
有的人大声呼叫。
Some call out loudly.
有的静默无言。
Some just kept quiet.
那些静默无言的人引用圣经的话。
Those who keep quiet use the Bible.
来支持他们祷告生活所用的形式。
To support this style of prayer.
每次进到他们的店里面去的时候。
Every time you enter into their temple.
他们想一句话，你们要安静，要知道。我是上帝。
They remember the verse, "Be still and know that I am Lord."
另外一些宗派祷告的时候
，But another denomination when they pray,
引用不同的圣经
，They will use other verses.
提到我们怎样向上帝大大呼求
，About how we should cry out to our Lord.
所以他就听我们的祷告
，And he will hear us.
所以你不奇怪进到不同的教会，得到完全不同的宗教形式。
So in different churches, there are different styles.
你看这个吓一跳，看那个吓一跳，到现在看了这么多还没有吓死，很感谢主。
And you'll be shocked with every different style.
那我们看看天主教怎么祷告呢？
The Roman Catholics.
你都发现天主教祷告爱这样点来点去四个点。
They will have the sign of the cross.
那么这个点呢，到底是谁教的呢？
Who taught them about this?
圣经没有说保罗这样祷告。
It is not in the Bible.
圣经也没有说彼得这样祷告。
Not Peter or Paul did this.
他们从来没有示范说用一个眼球点来点去，四个点呢就叫做祷告。
They don't have this demonstration in the Bible.
这么祷告对不对呢？
Is this the right way to pray?
这个祷告是画一个十字架的意思。
Actually, this is the sign of the cross.
画一个直线。
To draw a vertical line.
画一个横线。
And a horizontal line.
它表示它是借着基督到上帝面前的。
To show that we come before God by Christ.
借着耶稣基督的死与上帝交通。
And through the death of Christ, we come to God.
这种意义是好的。
The meaning is quite good.
这种形式不一定是圣经的。
The style may not be biblical.
那么圣经到底有没有好像靠近这种思想的经文呢？
Are there verses that are close to this?
有。
Yes.
就是加拉太书里面的。
Galatians.
保罗说，基督为你们钉十字架，已经活活画在你们面前了。你们为什么还离开恩典回到律法那里去？
The Apostle Paul says that the death of Christ is fully drawn before you. So why are you going back to sin?
Fully drawn before you. 所以这个叫做 before you.
And so the verse seems to imply that.
在你面前活化耶稣钉十字架。
Drawn before you.
所以从那一天成为他们的支持的。
And this become a supporting verse.
有一次有一个天主教的神父。
There was a Roman Catholic priest.
每一天坐 bus 的时候。
When he was taking the bus.
上车有第二站就有一个人上来。
At the second stop, someone will come up.
他看那个人呢，一定是这样，然后才坐下。
He saw the person making the sign, and then before he sit down.
他天主教的这个办公室比那个人下车又更远一站。
But he would alight later than this person.
所以每一次看那个人下车的时候，又再这样踩下去。
But he saw this person making the sign before he alights.
想不到有这么虔诚的天主教徒在车上还有做祷告的样子。
He said, "Well, this person is very pious."
啊，那个人根本不认识他是神父。
But he, the person didn't know that this is
a priest. 他也没对他讲。
And they didn't talk to each other.
看了一天、两天、一个礼拜、两个礼拜，看了一个月以后。
After he observed him for 1 month,
这天主教的神父就跑去那个人的旁边。
The priest went to this person.
他说。我很高兴现在还有这么虔诚像你这样的天主教徒。
He said, I'm very happy that there's such a pious Roman Catholic here.
这个时代很多人不承认他的信仰，但你还是很公开的表达你的十字架。
In this generation, people hide their faith, and yet you are very open about it.
我做神父这么久，很少看见你这样的人，所以我非常的安慰，我很高兴。
So as a priest, I'm very gratified.
I see such a devotional Catholic member like you. I'm so happy.那个人说：“谁是天主教徒？”就骂他了。
That person scolded him and said, "I'm not a Roman Catholic."
糟糕了，好心给雷打了。
The priest thought that he's misunderstood.
我没有看出就是你吧
？But I saw you doing this.
你不是每次上车一定要先画一个十字架吗
？Did you not make the sign of the cross?
下车了你又画十字架吗
？Before and after you came out the bus.
如果你不是基督徒，为什么你要这样祷告呢
？If you are not a Roman Catholic, why would you do that?
他说：“鬼才是基督徒。
”He said, "I'm not a Roman Catholic."
谁才祷告啊
？I'm not praying.
他说：“我没有看出是你。”是我。
He said, "Yes, I did that."
问他你做什么画来画去
？Then why did you do the sign?
他说我每次上车一定看眼镜有没有戴。
The first thing I do before I go up is to check my glasses.
我的皮带有没有挂好
？Whether my belt is the right place.
我的橡皮跟我的 notebook 带底有没有在身上
？Whether my notebook and my pen is on my.
等我下车以前
，And before I like the bus,
再点一次有没有给扒手拿去
？I will check whether it has been picked by the pickpocket.
这是我每天上车的习惯。
He said this is my habit.
跟天主教根本没有关系。
Not related to Catholicism.
所以你不要以为这样的人都在祷告啊。
So do not think that we are all praying.
这是天主教一种祷告的习惯。
This is the habit of prayer.
因为基督教的祷告的习惯也不一样的。
But the Protestants have different ways.
所以有的人祷告安静的不得了。
Some people pray very quietly.
一个牧师祷告，其他的一面静静一面睡觉。
When the pastor prays, some people keep quiet, some people go to sleep.
等到阿门的时候才知道，原来刚才有祷告。
And they wake up when amen comes.
他们就坐下来了。
And then they will sit down.
还有一些的地方的祷告大声的不得了。
But in some places they pray noisily.
而且允许全场的人都祷告。
Or the whole mass will pray,
就像我们今天的聚会一样。
Like earlier,
那么全场每一个基督徒都出声祷告。
When all pray verbally together,
到底是不是从圣经的教训来
？Is it from the Bible?
有没有圣经有过这样的榜样呢
？Is there biblical references?
这件事我相信是中国的1925到1928年。的伯特利布道团所产生的一种祷告方式。
I think that this prayer style came from the Evangelism Fellowship by Bethlehem Fellowship.
Bethel Evangelistic Band from China from 1925 to 1928. 那个布道团从上海出发。
This Evangelistic Band left Shanghai.
成为中国共产党统治中国以前最大的。宗教复兴的运动
They brought about the greatest revival movement in Christianity in China.
三年半的时间里面
Within 3.5 years,
走遍了18个省
They went to 18 provinces.
几百个教会
Many hundreds of churches.
处处千人聚会
Thousands of people attended the meetings.
悔改信主得救站到前头的人多得不得了
And the multitudes came to repent.
基督徒相拥成为布道团的几十万队
And many, many teams that went out for preaching.
最重要的包括宋尚杰、季志文、密子英等等。
It has important people like Dr. John Sung and Andrew Chi.
所以这个成为中国教会历史复兴历史里面很重要的一页。
This is a very important historical page in China.
这个布道团带着上海卫理公会、圣公会、公理会的会都的介绍信。到东北去的时候
，When this preaching band brought all the introductory letters from the important denominational leaders，
他们认为应当教导信徒自己会祷告。
They thought that they should teach the Christians to pray。
一个一个教导祷告时间太长了。
But it was waste a lot of time to teach one by one。
最好的办法就请大家同时为一个事情祷告。
So what they did was to invite all to pray at the same time。
每一个人自己向上帝开口。
That we were all called upon the Lord。
每一个人不要听别人祷告。
Not to listen to others.
这样就可以同时有几百个人、几千个人一同同心合一祷告。
Therefore, hundreds and thousands will pray at the same time.
但是他们到了旅顺的时候
，When they reach 旅顺，
就在那里一次这样做，就被那边的教会领袖把他赶走了。
The church leaders back then were objecting to this method.
这个跟他们过去的祷告方式完全不一样。
The style was different from what they were used to.
所以被认为的违背传统的祷告方式。
And they said that this is a prayer that is not traditional.
所以他们布道会一天以后就离开了。
After one day of gospel rally, they had to leave.
到了沈阳的地方。
When they go to 沈阳。再到了东北其他的地方。 And the northeast.
他们在别的城市呢，解释了，他们都接受，所以他们都这样祷告。
They were accepted by all these other cities.
有这种公众同时出声的祷告，去传遍了全中国所有的教会。
And this became a tradition in Chinese churches.
今年我们祷告也采取了同样的形式。
And this is what we did.
那